Alrighty, it's time to get started with the Survivor Series and Ticket to War Games recap. And with this, I'm also gonna do the the Raw and SmackDown aftermath. And NXT, which wasn't really all that much that happened on NXT. It was basically, take a recap, other than Keith Lee attacked Lars Sullivan. So that'll probably be Sullivan's last match in NXT before he goes up to the main roster, which was announced on the Survivor Series pre-show. They showed a video package, Lars Sullivan coming soon, that stuff. I will say, they are doing that very well by not actually saying which brand he's going to. They have that little bit of suspense and wonder. It's very smart of them to do that, I think. Anyway, so guess I'll start off with War Games. So show opened with Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno, a match that I've really wanted to see. But it was a squash match because I think something happened on the pre-show. Not sure what, because I didn't watch the pre-show. So that set up for the match. Riddle won. He hit like a bicycle knee, and it was 1, 2, 3. It does make Riddle look strong, especially after his first match where he was game beaten around quite a lot. For the most part, I agree with the squash match because A, saves time for the other matches, and you still get the 5 matches on a takeover, which are pretty much guaranteed. And it also makes Matt Riddle look really strong, beating Cassius Ohno that quickly. That really helps out Riddle. So, and then let's see. After that, it was Kairi Sane versus Shayna Baszler, 2 out of 3 falls. Very good match. I think out of the matches that they've had, I think this was my favorite match that they've had. Towards the end, kind of fell off with the whole run-in from everybody. Or pretty much everybody. I think this was my favorite match, but with the Mayon Classic final that those two had, I'd have to rewatch that one to say for sure. The Takeover Brooklyn match, I thought it was pretty quick. The Revolution match was good. I just don't think it had the right ending. It established Shayna as a heel, but I think it also weakened her. So that's why. Other than that, it was a fine match. Their match at War Games, it's nice, fast-paced, from the get-go, which was a theme throughout the card, throughout the rest of the show. Nice, fast-paced. And it was a good match. I like, at the end, with the counter, with the insane elbow, how Baszler caught the elbow, then rolled up Kairi for the 1, 2, 3. And, doing the 1-1, that was very appropriate for the rivalry. Usually, that gets complained about with those kinds of matches, or like an Iron Man, it'll be like neck and neck. And yeah, it's not always fitting for the rivalry for the rivalry slash the story that they're telling, you know, like one of them's a dominant, like say, like Strowman and Sami Zayn. I'm not using these two as an example. I'm just saying, like, they're a rivalry. Pretty sure they had an Iron Man match. I forget if it was, like, neck and neck or... No, I don't think they did have it. No, they had a Last Man Standing match, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, that was a good rivalry, but, you know. Like, a story like that, if it was 2 out of 3 falls, you would expect Strowman to get both falls. Or it might be, like... 1-1 because of, like, Sammy rolling up Strowman or something like that. Like just barely getting that 1 point. Or, like, if they had an Iron Man match, you know, Strowman just absolutely decimates Sammy. You know, stuff like that wouldn't be right to do. Like, 50-50 booking throughout that match. But with Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler fit, because they've, like, just pretty much just traded wins and losses, basically. And, yeah, it goes back to 50-50 booking, but, you know, in the long run, it does work, because since they were the finalists for the Mae Young Classic, you know, which was built as, you know, the best women. And I think there was a couple from NXT, a couple women from NXT and indie promotions, you know. And those two made it to the finals, so they were the best to head into NXT. So, and, I'll say, it does seem like they're trying to make Shayna more of a heel. Because before, she was the cool heel, you know, the dominant member of the roster. Kind of like Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe has lost some steam, though, since he hasn't been on TV in what feels like ages. I mean, yeah, he was on Survivor Series, but I mean, he was taken out pretty quickly. And before that, I guess what I'm trying to say with Joe is he hasn't been part of anything major recently. He was pretty underwhelming in the Survivor Series match, so. And even in the build-up, it was just kind of there. Because it's Samoa Joe. So. But, yeah. Baszler and Kairi Sane, pretty good match. And let's see, the next match was, I want to say, Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano. This for me was match of the night. It was just nice face pass. Oh, Jesus, it's late, so I'm gonna be messing up quite a lot. It was nice, fast paced again, like the previous match, and without all the match, and throughout all the matches, not without all the matches, throughout all the matches on the card, it was fast-paced. It was a nice change of things, you know. Usually, it'll be, like, a few, or, like, one or two. Actually, no, more, 2 or 3 fast-paced matches. And then the rest, like, normal, or maybe, like, 1 slow match. But throughout the night, again, it was just all fast-paced. It was like an indie show, almost. And I hope that's going to be like the style for like the setup for takeovers going forward. Obviously, you can't do that with every match. Like, say, Keith Lee versus EC3. Oh, actually, no, they could have a fast-paced match. Because Keith Lee can be pretty agile, so can EC3. Think of, let's see, Pete Dunne. Now, he can still have a fast-paced match, but he he's usually more of a slow pace, you know, trying to work in the joints and all that stuff of his opponent, you know, going after the fingers and all that stuff. This is a typical match, but I mean, in war games, he was pretty fast paced throughout that match. Then again, the match was going at a higher pace. So, you know, if you would have had Pete Dunne slowing down during that match, especially with the build up to him being entered into the match, just wouldn't have felt right, wouldn't have looked right. Wouldn't have been as good. Trying to think here. What else to say? Oh, yeah. But anyway, back to Black and Gargano. This match, I like this, like the in-ring story that they're playing, you know. Gargano being that cocky heel, you know, kind of like The Miz. But Gargano also taking a fight to Aleister Black. Which was good. You know, he had Gargano stealing the pose. And, yeah, it was a lot of strikes, which is what I was, I did predict that, and I was right. It was a lot of strikes, and then some, like, aerial offense as well, like, not so much aerial, but, like, jumping moves and that. I mean, that, yeah, that is kind of aerial, but, I mean, it wasn't really from the top rope. I think there was a few springboard moves, but either way, yeah, then at the end, Aleister hit the Black Mask, picked him up again, said, I condone you of your sins, hit him again with the Black Mask, 1, 2, 3, Aleister Black 1, I think that was the right decision, mainly because I think Aleister Black's gonna be going up to the main roster soon, so, you know, big win at War Games. And, you know, that can set him up for a pretty dominant role on the main roster. I kind of hope he goes to SmackDown. Like, not because he's not a big enough star to be on Raw. It's just with Raw, that's like all the powerhouses and that go to Raw. And the more technical guys and fast-paced workers, they often go SmackDown. You know, you got AJ, Daniel Bryan, arguably Rusev, the Usos, New Day. Kind of Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio. Yeah, you got more of those guys go SmackDown than, you got the big guys, you know, on Raw. You know, you got McIntyre, Strowman, not so much anymore Roman Reigns, but, you know, he's still on Raw. Triple H, he's not appeared on SmackDown since the draft, so I would say he's firmly a part of Raw. Kane now on Raw, so every once in a while he'll show up. But anyway, so yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Aleister Black, he'll be more of a fit on SmackDown. I don't know, but actually now that I think about it, like, his character would work more on Raw because SmackDown's more of the work rate show. There isn't really a lot of character work being done, like extravagant characters, whereas on Raw, I mean, you got Strowman. Actually, no, they're both pretty work rate, because over on Raw, you also got Rollins and Ambrose, Ziggler, McIntyre, so. And Miz over on SmackDown being the whole Hollywood movie star, that sort of thing. But either way, you know, I think either one, he would be a good fit. I think if he went to Raw, I probably won't win the Universal title, but he could be a pretty good IC champion. And if he went to SmackDown, more of a chance of being WWE champion, which I think he could do pretty well. I know when he was NXT champion, he kind of took a backseat to champion Gargano. Similar to AJ and Joe taking the backseat to Brian and AJ at SummerSlam. Anyway, but yeah. But Aleister Black, either way, he still did have pretty good reign as NXT champ. So, yeah, it could probably do some good work with the WWE Championship. Either way, so yeah, good match. Think the story is over. And just kind of wondering to see where they both go off to with new feuds and that. Then Champion Velveteen Dream. What other people would say was a match of the night. It was a really good match. One of the main problems that I have with that match is how much offense Ciampa kicked out of. But it did make him look strong, like very strong. But at the same time, it also kind of weakened Velveteen Dream's special moves. I don't have a problem with Ciampa kicking out of that like rolling Death Valley driver. Or does he call that Dream Over? I forget what he calls it. But either way, I don't have a problem with him kicking out that because Dream actually hit it on double padding. So it actually kind of protected Ciampa a little bit more. But the elbow drop, that the Purple Rainmaker, I do have a little bit of a problem with that because the elbow drop is pretty, I don't want to say dominant, but it's not all that often that you see somebody kick out of a diving elbow drop. Sorry, I just have a, oh man, I have a eyelash in my eye. Just 1 second. Okay, yeah, sorry about that. I think it got out, but anyway. So, then, I did like Ciampa hitting that rope hung DDT onto the, steel. Combining the two rings, or not really, or the divide between the two rings, that, steel bar that they had there. Or the metal bar. I did like that spot, but only Dream dressing up as Hollywood Hulk Hogan because they were in LA. Well, he says, I want to see Dream come out to somebody's entrance music other than his own, like with Hollywood Hulk Hogan, like when he dressed up as Hogan. Maybe play the NWO theme song. Oh, and I'm pretty sure they used to do like black and white for the entrance for NWO entrance. Maybe do like a purple shade on the camera for Dream's entrance. That would be cool. I like to see that. Oh, then Dream doing the like hulking up, or dreaming up, I should say, because Dream was doing it. He got up, hit the big boot, then hit three leg drops in a row, and Ciampa kicked out. I did like how they did that, because it made it look, they made the leg drop look really weak, and they got their licks in on Hogan, so. I just like how they made the leg drop look super weak, really, because it was a really weak finisher. Anyway, on to War Games. It was good. I like the War Games match. I will say, I do like last year's better. Because with matches like that, I really like chaotic matches. And last year's was pretty chaotic at times. And this year, they just kind of like did repeat spots almost, just a little bit different. Which, yeah, okay, but at the same time, you know, could do something else. But yeah, this match is good. The one main issue, though, that I do have with this match is they tried to replicate last year's match when they should have tried to create something different. I forgot what I was going to say. Overall, good match. You know, done. Ricochet and War Raiders won. Yeah, okay. Faces win. Don't have too much of a problem with that. Just kind of waiting to see where they go after this. Alright, on to Survivor Series. With the pre-show that, tag team elimination match with the tag division. SmackDown won, which makes a lot of sense. I did like how the Revival survived until the end. I don't like, though, how they're just kind of like trading eliminations like pretty quickly as well. But yeah, kind of fair enough. You can kind of see, though, why they're doing that. Kind of speed up the match. I don't like how the Revival did that suicide dive, because that goes against their saying, no flips, just fists. And the suicide dive, that really goes against that. And it goes against the Revival, because Revival are more like the heel tag team. And yeah, you have him doing a suicide dive, which is a very face move to do. But the fans, they were just on SmackDown's side throughout that match. And for the most part, throughout the night. But yeah, SmackDown won. I don't like how it didn't count, because that makes a pre-show. Like, the pre-show matches just look like they don't matter when there are title matches that happen on the pre-show, for crying out loud. Yeah, that match didn't go into the final count. I don't know if somebody screwed up. Because it's very clear that they wanted Raw to have a clean sweep. But, yeah, SmackDown won on the pre-show, so, Yeah, somebody screwed up. Anyway. See, then things start off with the women's 5-on-5. Boy, dude, did they hate Nia Jax. It kind of like how Nia Jax is taking the heat and playing it in. You know, like throwing up a fist, you know, brushing it off, you know, that sort of stuff. I like that. You know, it's pretty good heel work by Nia. But, man, she just squashed Asuka in the match. Oh, my. You know, I feel bad for Asuka, because this time last year, she would have kicked the crap out of Nia. You know, absolutely just decimated her. Instead, she gets squashed by Nia Jax, because the streak is over. I'm hoping that they put the title on Asuka. I really do want to see Asuka and Lynch. Hopefully Asuka wins, and then Lynch, Becky wins the Rumble. Yay! Then hopefully they can do Becky and Rousey, or Lynch and Rousey, at Mania, but I'm not sure if the storyline's still gonna be hot by then. They could do a triple threat with Charlotte, but I think if they just kept it 1-on-1, it'd be between Lynch and Rousey, then I think it'd be a little bit more well received. Match quality, I think it might improve with Charlotte in there, but I'm not entirely sure about that one. But anyway, yeah, Raw 1. And let's see, then I think the next match was Rollins and Nakamura. What the heck was Nakamura wearing? He had a long sleeve blue t-shirt with a SmackDown t-shirt. And that's two layers. And usually, you know, when working out, you sweat a lot and your body gets heated. And the guy's wearing two layers, which would make him even more hot. Like body temperature and that. It didn't make much sense. Much sense when you think about it. Then Rollins, of course, doing that half shirt thing, which I really don't get, but okay. You know, can't really do much about that, so. Anyway, yeah, the match was pretty good. Rollins won, of course. It wasn't a run in from Ambrose, which I think there should have been. At least at the end of the match, you know, to attack Rollins, kind of further their storyline a little bit, but I think they just announced him and Ambrose on the show for the title at TLC, which, you know, I figured that they were going to do. I hope it's a TLC match, or well, maybe not TLC, but hopefully like a ladder match or something like that. That'd be nice. Next match was, I want to say the tag title match. Like, it wasn't for the tag title, but tag titles, but like the match between the champions. I feel bad for Jake Maverick. Penis pants. And the match was pretty good. Arthur's Pain still looked dominant. And Cesaro and Sheamus were kind of like the faces in the match almost. You know, like they were the underdogs going in. Then Sheamus hit the big, or almost said big boot, but he hit the bro kick. Maverick put, I think, Razor's foot on the rope. One of the authors of pain. Put his foot on the rope, you know, continuing the match. And of course, Sheamus got really mad. I think Cesaro went after him, though. And then, of course, Maverick ran into Big Show, who choked him, put him up on the apron, and then he peed his pants. And just that look of shock on Cesaro and Sheamus' face, like, wait, did he just do that? But there wasn't a lot of pee. There wasn't a lot of pee. It was like a little drop. I did see something funny online, which is a bit inappropriate, but it was pretty funny. It was in a reactions video to it, and they mentioned how there wasn't a lot of pee. I'm not going to go into the details, but let's just say they didn't think that was pee. Anyway, and you have Maverick just shaking, and Big Show, he just let him go and laughed, and just walked away, laughing. And then, of course, the author of Japan hit the powerbomb neckbreaker. I like that tag finish. Last chapter, you know, it was a staple of their moveset, which kind of hate to see it go, but I like the new move. It looks a little bit more dominant. Not really dominant, but it looks like it hurts more, so. Anyway, then there was the 5-on-5 men's team. Strowman looked way too strong in that match. He got put through a table, and then he came back. You know, at first he acted a little bit groggy, which I liked, you know, because he did get put through a table. But he was on the ground for a little while, but still, I mean, when he got back in the match, he acted like nothing hit him at all. And he just hit the power slams. Just hit a power slam very quickly for a quick 1-2-3. But I did like how The Miz was kind of like trying to screw. Like, he wasn't really doing it on purpose. I mean, he was doing it on purpose, but he wasn't really trying to screw Shane on purpose. But I did like that, you know. Like, he set Shane up for the coast-to-coast, tagged him in after he was absolutely worn out from the table spot. You know. Said Ziggler up in the corner. He just looked at Shane with that smile on his face, tagged him in. Shane went up top, hit the coast-to-coast, looked absolutely out of breath, and Shane eliminated Ziggler, proving that he is the best in the world. I think he tagged him in his back in to, I think he was facing Lashley. He set Lashley up and tagged in Shane with, who looked absolutely tired at this point. Then Shane went for a coast-to-coast. Strowman hit him with a clothesline. And then I think Lashley tagged Strowman in. And then the dominance of Strowman kicked in. But it was nice that Rey Mysterio got a little bit of offense in on Strowman. Did like that. But I am just so sick of Strowman. Like, just on how overpowered that they book him. like, it's nothing against Strowman himself. I mean, he's just doing his job. But it's just the way that they book him, it is tiresome. You know, he'll get the crap beat out of him by, say, Brock Lesnar, you know. And then he'll absolutely decimate, like, Shane, Jeff Hardy, you know, guys like that. And they have Daniel Bryan look like he took Lesnar to his limits. Granted, there was a low blow. But still, looked like he was about to make Lesnar tap out. And Lesnar absolutely decimated Strowman. I mean, that just makes everybody else that Strowman decimates look so, so weak. And if they come back and, like, beat Brock, not, like, pin him or make him tap, but, like, they beat up Brock a little bit, then that makes Strowman look weak. And that makes Strowman look weak. So then they have to have Strowman do utter dominance. And it's just a cycle, which I am just so sick of at this point. You know, they want him as this dominant member of the roster. But then he gets dominated, and then he has to over-dominate. Oh my, it could be easily solved. But so far, right now, it doesn't look like it's going to be solved. And thankfully, because it looks like, from recent reports online, Lesnar's going to do it again to Strowman at the Royal Rumble. He's going to dominate him again. So then some other poor soul going to have to answer to Strowman's wrath. And it just never ends. Not until they do something. But I don't know at this point. Anyway, then Charlotte and Ronda, very good match. I like, but I don't like how they're trying to weaken Ronda. I can't talk. I kept trying to say, like, sound like I was saying weaken Charlotte, but I threw an R in there because I meant weaken Ronda. I'm probably not going to cut that out either. So, anyway, so yeah, they're trying to weaken Ronda a little bit, which I like, but I don't like, because that makes the matches a little bit more even, and I think a little bit better. But at the same time, I mean, it's Ronda Rousey, Miss UFC, pretty much, until she got beaten. But and she was undefeated for how long? And, you know, she comes into wrestling and starts having even fights. Well, A, that makes the wrestlers look good, but that makes the UFC fighters and all that look bad. I mean, Ronda's still winning, but now she's, like, barely winning. So, but, I guess you could argue tougher competition, but she did face Nia Jax, and that wasn't really much of an even match. I mean, it was a little bit even, but it wasn't as even as if it would have happened now, which I'm pretty sure it's going to happen at TLC, the rematch, which I'm not really looking forward to. I hope Rousey keeps the belt, because do you want to see Becky and Rousey and at Mania, and there's a chance of that happening, so. Either way, well, if Nia won and Becky won the Rumble, I mean, that might not be as good of a match, or as high profile of a match, but I mean, still might be good. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, oh, Charlotte's heel turn. Well, it wasn't really much of a heel turn because of what happened on SmackDown, but at the time, the heel turn, absolutely brilliant. And this is what I've been saying. You know, just have somebody just go chaotic. Beat the living crap out of them. And Charlotte, she really did beat up Rousey. She really beat her up. With the chairs and all that stuff. I mean, I'm saying you like to do that with Ambrose. But I'm not complaining. What they did with Charlotte. But yeah, this is what I've been saying. You know, it adds more effect to the turn. I mean, it wasn't much of a heel turn. Because again, what happened on SmackDown, they kind of killed it. But again, at the time, after Survivor Series, like going into like Raw and SmackDown, I wanted to see SmackDown to see what Charlotte had to say. You know? Because of that heel turn. Like, just how vicious it was. And Charlotte, she really went all out. I do feel a little bit bad for Ronda. Because, you know, the crowd was really laying into her. She was walking up the ramp, you know. She just got the crap beaten out of her after a pretty competitive match. And the crowd were cheering, you know, for Charlotte. Like, really cheering. And as Ronda was walking up the ramp, I'm pretty sure she said she couldn't handle it. Just the crowd reaction. And, I mean, I don't really blame her. They were really laying into her. You know, especially, they started going, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. Which the crowd always does when they see somebody leave that they don't like. So, yeah, I mean, I can see why people don't like Ronda because of, you know, the way she's been booked and how dominant she is. But, again, she was undefeated in UFC for a while. And, you know, she was dominant there, which is, as far as fighting goes, like, UFC is the top of the food chain for MMA, pretty much. And, you know, to be dominant in UFC, I mean, that says a lot. You know, so, yeah, I really don't mind that she's been that dominant. And then got the main event. Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. I loved this match. Not as much as Charlotte and Rousey. But I think the reason why I like that match so much is because, again, of how competitive it was. This match was, you know, a little bit more competitive. Or it wasn't as competitive is what I meant to say. Not a little bit more competitive. But started off pretty comedic. You know, you had Bryan running around the ring. Heyman and Lesnar just getting PO'd at Bryan running around the ring. Then when Bryan finally got in the ring, you know, he mocked Brock by doing that dance of his. Like a, an overdone version of it, which I thought was good. And what was the saying? Oh yeah, you know, Brian just kind of like being comedic, then just absolutely getting killed by Lesnar. Those German suplexes, I was worried for Brian there, you know, with his neck problems and that. And I'm not sure if, I mean, it was probably the selling that Brian did, which was good selling. But I was genuinely worried about Brian there with the beating that he was taking from Brock. So, and then Brock went for that F5, you know, good night, everybody. And then told a fan to shut up. I'm pretty sure he told a fan to shut up. Oh, and Brock Lesnar is one of the only people that can get a crowd to start chanting for him. I mean, it's Brock Lesnar, so I don't think people are going to argue with him, you know. Yeah, Lesnar started chanting "Suplex City." I mean, he didn't clap. He didn't clap, but he just started going "Suplex City," and then the crowd started going "Suplex City." Absolutely great! Like the first half, just Lesnar being like that smarky little heel, and then he had Brian with the comeback. You know, the low blow to Lesnar while the ref was down. And then Brock, he really can't sell. I mean, there's a few moments in the match where I thought Brian was actually going to win, especially after Brian hit the running knee. And during the yes lock as well, I mean, I knew Brock wasn't going to tap out because with Brock going to MMA, but I mean, when Brian reapplied the hole, I thought, oh, wait a minute, is he actually going to do it? You know, stuff like that. And that match was a reminder of Brock can be good when he cares about the match. And, but yeah, Brian had a good showing. Brock had a good showing, as always, you know, with the selling. And of course, Brock being Brock. Yeah, then on SmackDown, it's kind of a recap. Survivor Series, continuing some storylines. And it was just kind of like a, it was a transitional show, pretty much. Same thing with NXT, as you expect. Ambrose and Rollins did some good stuff throughout the night. I'm trying to think of the, oh, then the Lucha House Party with the handicap match. It was a tag match under Lucha House Party rules, which means handicap match, basically. Just trying to think of some of the other stuff that happened. Oh, yeah, they were making fun of Drake Maverick for him peeing himself. And then Authors of Pain faced Rudy and Gable. And on SmackDown, they derailed Charlotte with that promo. They should have made Charlotte the kind of the cool heel, sort of. Charlotte isn't good in the passionate heel role like Becky is, or even like a passionate face. She's kind of like a middle grounded, like a in betweener almost. That's where Charlotte should be, like as far as the face heel spectrum goes. Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton. Pretty good match. And oh, Mysterio got demasked. pretty much showed his face. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure where that's going to go. I'm pretty sure a match at TLC, but not entirely sure. I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting, though. Kind of curious to see where it goes. Anyway, that's been The Week in Wrestling. I'll see you guys for the next podcast episode.